The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
You're listening to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Discover hope and healing from the other side. Welcome to Messages of Hope with Suzanne Giesman.
Listen, they're all around you, close as a thought or a memory. Messages of Hope.
Well, hi everybody, and greetings. This time again, I am coming to you live from the tower at Unity Village in Unity Village, Missouri. I'm so excited because as I'm doing this show, registration for my Holy You retreat just opened. And so all the people that will be with me for the next 4 days are just now starting to come in and sign in. And I think this is wonderful that I get to sit over here in the tower and chat with the most wonderful man, Dr. Gary Schwartz. I'm going to let Gary tell you more about himself, but some of you, hopefully many of you, already know about him because I've already had him on my show, and this year, in fact. But he was so well received, and we didn't get to talk about so many things that I wanted to talk about, that he agreed to come back for part two. He's going to be talking to us today about the soul phone. Imagine having technology that would allow you to talk to your family and friends who have crossed the veil. I announced that on my Facebook page yesterday, and we got some comments that that would just be beyond a dream, wouldn't it? So we're going to talk all about that. Gary, thank you so much for coming back and joining us again.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
It's always a pleasure to talk with you, and I know we had a little magic happen already. I didn't tell you yet because I wanted to tell you on air what happened, but
I got to hear the magic.
Yeah, it's just great because Ty just drove me over here to Unity headquarters. We're staying down the road at a campground. And I get in the car and I said, oh, I need to text Gary the call-in number for the show. So I just knew I was supposed to do that. And I texted you to the number. You replied, great. And then I went to check email, which I haven't been able to check all day because I've been running around getting ready for the retreat. And there's an email from Dr. Gary Schwartz saying, Suzanne, what's the call-in number for the show? So I think that's Susie Smith, your wonderful helper in the spirit world that is making sure that everything worked out just right today.
That would be really special to put it mildly. You know, it's interesting because you spend, I presume, correct me if I'm wrong, virtually every day with spirit in one form or another.
Oh, yes.
Is that fair to say?
Oh, yes.
And that includes weekends, right?
Well, there's, where spirit's concerned, there's no day off.
Right.
Well, the message for everybody listening is we all spend our time in the spirit world all the time, and it just takes a shift in focus to be there. So it's all about learning how to do that.
Right. And that's such a profound, it's such a profound lesson that it's through our intention and where we focus our attention.
Yes.
That enables us to connect or not to connect. And that applies, by the way, you know, as much to our bodies, the physical world, as it is to the spiritual world.
Absolutely.
Which is really fascinating.
For everybody who's listening, Dr. Schwartz has spent a lifetime studying psychology and physiology and energy and the spirit world. Gary, would you just give us a brief synopsis of your background to catch everybody up who perhaps missed the first show, which is in the archives, by the way, folks. So if you want to catch that, just go back and listen to show one. But Gary, tell us about yourself.
Well, very briefly, I was trained as a mainstream academic scientist. I was privileged to have an excellent education. I was an undergraduate at Cornell, psychology major, chemistry minor, pre-med, mainstream. I then did my master's and PhD at Harvard University, where again I was mainstream, psychophysiology, clinical psychology. And in those days, I was a materialist, meaning I was raised first of all in essentially an atheist, Reformed Jewish home. I was taught it was ashes to ashes, dust to dust, case closed. Mm-hmm. I was also trained by Western science that the brain and nervous system creates consciousness, and therefore, when our brains die, our consciousness ceases, case closed. And I just assumed that all of that was true. And I was then on the faculty at Harvard and then moved and was a professor of psychology and psychiatry at Yale University. And I was there for 12 years and then moved to the Southwest, to the University of Arizona in Tucson. And when people ask me why I do that, I confess that it was first and foremost a move of the heart. Yes, it was much easier to do sort of interdisciplinary, integrative, more visionary kind of work at a institution like the University of Arizona than in a more conservative institution like Yale or Harvard. But it was also because the Southwest is a more, if you would, open, and I've learned, spiritual place. And I was blessed to be able to come here and therefore develop in these other areas.
Well, may I interrupt then and just jump right ahead here, because
Sure. You've
got your bona fides there, which are just incomparable. And I've visited you multiple times at your Laboratory of Human Consciousness at the University of Arizona. And as you mentioned that they're in their open-mindedness, I really applaud the powers that be at the university for allowing you to have that laboratory and do the work you're doing now, because it is out-of-the-box research, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say it's way out of the box. And it's unavoidable to see it that way. I mean, it's one thing to infer that there's a greater reality, a greater spiritual reality that goes beyond our conventional five senses, and with gifted mediums like yourself who are evidential, to be able to obtain information that can be independently verified, both in terms of the past, the present, and even sometimes the future. But besides all of that, the idea that the continuation of consciousness, of personality, of our history, of our loves, and also our pain and suffering, that all the lessons that we can learn in life, not only does it continue in this post-material realm, but also that our energy and information can have effects back in the physical world. And with the appropriate technology and the appropriate software attached to these appropriate sensors, we have the opportunity to collaboratively create technology which will take us from the telephone and the cell phone through the smartphone to what, we affectionately refer to as the soul phone. And that this is part of our, I've come to conclude, inevitable opportunity for advancement, and with that, virtually every aspect of our consciousness and lives will change, and not just here in the physical, but also, quote, on the other side, because when our loved ones on the other side, or when we cross over to the other side, when they're sort of at a disadvantage like we are, in the same way that most of us can't see or hear spirit, yes, they can much more easily hear and see us, but because we can't see them, they still can't interact with us.
Right.
But when we now have a technology that makes it as easy for them to enable them to be heard by us and seen by us and vice versa, then their lives become richer and more complete, because then they have a choice to remain connected with their loved ones across the realms.
Well, I know that many of the listeners to this show listen because they want hope. It's called Messages of Hope. And it's because they have a child who has crossed, or a spouse or parent, and they truly want to know that their loved ones are okay. Now, I know that, and we reassure everyone of that every week. But it would be cruel to bring on a guest like you if I didn't truly believe that your technology is leading us to that place where everyone will be able to use technology. I know that you have referred to what is going to happen as a Wright Brothers moment regarding your technology. Would you explain why you use that analogy?
Sure. You know, a little over 110 years ago, there were no airplanes, no powered flight. And we humans didn't know whether or not powered flight was possible. But in December, I think it was 1903, at Kitty Hawk, five people witnessed that fateful day when the Wright Brothers plane first flew. I think the first flight lasted all of 12 seconds. The longest flight was 59 seconds, and the plane crashed. It was just basically a wooden framed and cloth-built machine. They then had to repair it. The next time they tried to fly it, there wasn't enough wind, and the plane crashed, and they had to fix it and get it ready again for flight. And the third time, they were able to do it. And although photographs were taken of those early, those early flights, it took a couple of years for the public to finally realize that what was happening was real. But for the five people who were at Kitty Hawk, they now knew that flight was possible. So it was no longer a question of, was flight possible? The question then became, was, could that machine that didn't have any windows, it didn't have any seats, it didn't have any stewards, there was no air conditioning, I mean, you couldn't practically use it for anything. Could that technology be taken from a working proof of concept machine to a practical working prototype that we could then use in our daily lives? And what I've concluded, and I'm going to share with you, it's really special that you reminded me that this show is called Messages of Hope, and you'll see why in a second, Suzanne.
Mm-hmm.
We've reached the point where we say that we've now entered what we call a Wright Brothers moment.
Yay.
For spirit communication, because anyone who's now able to witness the technology, and that's what I'm going to announce in the show momentarily, once you've been able to witness it, it no longer becomes a question of, is spirit communication possible? That's no longer the question. The question now is, can we take it from this, I would say, definitive proof of concept demonstrations to actual practical technology so that we can, for example, engage in, for example, texting with our loved ones, like we text with them here. And what we are starting, we are going to be doing this in the beginning of New Year, so it'll probably be mid-January of 2020. We're going to be holding, I'm going to be giving a lecture called The Soul Phone Experiments, which will be introducing the science of all of this with a subtitle of Extraordinary Claims and Extraordinary Evidence. But we're also going to follow that with, and this is what I think most people will be interested, what we call the Soul Phone Experience, which will be an all-day workshop that people will be able to attend, which will begin with presentations about the experience of first doing research with spirit, then the experience of literally working with the A-team and also a scientist from the point of view of an evidential medium, i.e. Rhonda will confess what it's like to experience what she experiences.
I need to interrupt then, and say that those who aren't familiar and didn't listen to the first show, the A-team is a team of scientists and other well-known people who have passed, who have been working with Dr. Schwartz and his team here, the B-team, above and below. So he's not just reaching random unidentified people who have crossed the veil. There's a team that regularly shows up and works with him from the other side.
And who is one of the evidential mediums who has independently validated many of those individuals on the A-team?
Well, I think that would be me.
That is correct. You played an essential role in convincing me that this is real. But then Mark Pitstick, who created what's called the Soul Phone Foundation, people can go to www.soulphone.org, and they can learn about all of this. He's going to be presenting about what we call the Greater Reality Living, which is a new book that we've written to take all of this scientific evidence about life after death and a greater reality and how we can improve our lives and the life of our loved ones while we're here in the physical.
That's what I love.
Taking advantage of this.
I love this because it's not just about, oh boy, now we can talk to our loved ones. It's how do we serve the greater good? How does the whole, both sides of the veil benefit from this technology?
Right. But then what we're going to do is we're going to do an actual live demonstration of the very latest technology, what we call a stage two breakthrough in the technology, where we're going to actually be able to show, using the state-of-the-art system, first of all, how a person in the audience can physically influence this technology following the computer-automated instructions, and you literally see the effects on a giant screen, followed by one of the members of the A-team using the technology and demonstrating their ability to have an effect on the technology.
Now, I'm going to jump in here now because I generally hear a lot of what my listeners are thinking. So we have so many skeptics in the world that try to debunk mediums and technology. We all know how we can be duped by photoshopping and people playing with computers behind the scenes, smoke and mirrors. I'm sure you've thought through all of this.
Absolutely. And so none of this is hidden. Literally every aspect of the software and the hardware and the sensors, it's all completely explained so that there is no evidence of trickery whatsoever.
Wonderful.
It's no question about that. But what I wanted to share with you is that after we give a demonstration, and by the way, just like with the Wright brothers, you know, where sometimes the plane could take off and sometimes it couldn't, and sometimes the plane only flew for 12 seconds at some point because it was longer. This technology is what we call proof of concept. It is not a technology. It's not a working prototype.
So right. It's not a little phone that you put in your pocket yet.
No, it's not a little phone. And it's average accuracy, I would say right now, in terms of replicability, is about 80%.
Ooh, that's outstanding.
It is outstanding, but... But if you're texting only was reliable only 80% of the time, you'd be frustrated if 20% of your letters were garbage. I mean, if you're going to have a real technology, just like you have to have a plane that can take off and land virtually 100% reliably, and it's got to be comfortable and work effectively, we have to go from this proof of concept to a practical working prototype. That's the next stage. But what I wanted to share with you is that for people who really want to have a direct personal experience with the opportunity of their loved one trying, you know, and using the technology that we now have, and wish to also help contribute to essentially funding the next phase of the work, we're going to be making available what we call HOPE sessions. And HOPE is an acronym for having an objective post-material experience, H-O-P-E.
Nice.
And so literally, people will be able to work with one of the members of our B-team in collaboration with one or more members from the A-team, such as Susie Smith, and literally have a private session to see whether or not their particular loved one could use the technology with the assistance of one of the members on the A-team and reveal their presence.
Wow.
And that's never before been done in the history of this work.
That's awesome.
Also, I would love to announce this today because it's really happening. We've gotten to the point where we can completely computer automate and analyze all of the data. So for literally just a few thousand dollars per system, which includes the sensors and the camera and the computer and the software and the housing and so on. So with this particular system, I can now set it up for a few thousand dollars, and then I can loan it to a collaborating laboratory anywhere in the world to independently replicate what we're doing.
And that is so important to scientists. I know that.
It's critical to scientists. It's what's called the multi-center, multi-blinded, randomized control trial. It is the gold standard of biomedical and pharmacological research. And we've gotten it by doing it in a cost-effective way, and where the other scientists don't have to have any expertise in the area, and they don't have to spend any research money, and it requires virtually no personnel time, just a little bit of training a research assistant to be able to check to make sure that the computer is on and the things are functioning. And if they have a space in their laboratory which is quiet and excluding of people at night, so it doesn't even have to interfere with their daily functions, at no cost to them, they can participate in a collaborative experiment, first ever multi-center spirit technology experiments, program of research, to be able to show that this can be replicated anywhere in the world.
How exciting. Let's talk about what this is. What is it that someone would experience at this point in your technology?
Okay. Well, it's what we're currently using. I should preface this by saying that we have worked with at least 10 different kinds of sensors, from sensors that measure photons through sensors that measure magnetic fields, to sensors that measure electrical fields, to sensors that measure super low-level sound. And by the way, they all, quote, work to various degrees. But none of these have been, if you would, low-cost. And they all require very high levels of sophistication of technology and software.
And I just want to jump in here, Gary, and tell everybody who's listening that having followed your work and seen what you're working with, you've been working really on a shoestring budget, often donating your own money, all of your own time, because you don't have the full backing of the scientific community, but you know you are on the road to success. You know that Wright Brothers moment. You've already had that, and you know that the technology is coming, and I just give you so much credit for, wow, what you've achieved with what you have is phenomenal.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, as you know, it involves a group of us here in the A-team and a very devoted, I mean, those of you in the B-team, and a very devoted group of beings on the A-team.
And I just have to say, I know we're coming up to a break, but we want to hear more about the answer to my original question, but this is the perfect time to just tell everybody again. We're talking to Dr. Gary Schwartz, about the cell phone. And I've seen this man. I've spent time with him. We're personal friends, dined together. He is a tireless worker. He and his wife, Rhonda, totally devoted to this project. It's his life, his mind. Rhonda's mind never stop thinking about this, never stops working about it. It's all consuming. It's your passion.
It is a passion, absolutely.
So where are you? What would people witness?
Okay. So I'll give it a little bit of a story because I think it makes it even more interesting.
Okay, we have 2 minutes till the break.
When are we entering the break?
Two minutes.
Mm-hmm. Then I'll just plant the seed.
Good.
We're trying to develop an electronic switch. An electronic switch is like a binary switch so that, imagine, for example, like a keyboard and a key and a keyboard. You press it, and it makes an event or not. So it's binary. If you have 40-plus keys, 40-plus binary switches, then you can have a keyboard for texting. So it's the simplest form of communication is a binary yes-no system. And we were working on and are working on an electronic switch. And one of the ideas that occurred to me one fateful day was that if I could have access to a relatively high frequency, relatively high voltage, and relatively low current source, and then have that signal be used as a signal that could be detected by a spirit serving as an antenna or a conductor, it would be easier to detect this precise signal. It's a simple idea.
Mm-hmm.
And one source of those kinds of signals is called the Tesla coil. And Nikola Tesla, who was one of the great inventors, along with Thomas Edison, you know, in the birthing of the 20th century, he actually got a patent for this technology in the form of what's now called a plasma globe. And these plasma globes were created using essentially his patent information to mostly for entertainment. I'm sure many of your listeners may have seen these devices where it's in the shape of a globe and it's glass and it's got a little ball in it.
May I interrupt a second, Gary, as we slide into the break here?
Sure.
Is it not true that Nikola Tesla is one of the members of the A-Team?
That is true.
Yes.
And I say this as a scientist forced to that conclusion by extraordinary abundance of evidence.
All right. So everybody come back and we're going to tell you just how close Dr. Schwartz is to communicating with your loved ones.
Thank you for listening to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
We spend a third of our lives sleeping and dreaming, yet most of us have no idea what goes on during that time. I'm Kelly Sullivan Walden, and as a dream expert and best-selling author, I'm here to empower you to mine the gold from your nighttime dreams. Join me on the Kelly Sullivan Walden Show, part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network, available wherever you get your podcasts. Until we meet again, don't take your dreams lying down.